You're listening to Grow Great, the Daily Brief, number 106, for Tuesday, November the 20th, 2018. No, I'm not going to go NPR on you. Randy Cantrell here, your host. The website is growgreat.com. You're going to want to go and check out the show notes for today's episode because I'm going to put five links in the blog post for today's show. You can go to growgreat.com and just search for episode 106. I did a five-part summary of the book, The Third Opinion, How Successful Leaders Use Outside Insight to Create Superior Results. The author, she is a PhD. Her name is Saj Nicole Joni, I think. It looks like Joni, but it's Joni or Joni. I'm going to put links to, it was a five-part series. I'm going to put links in today's post so you'll be able to easily find them. Part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 3 years of research by this author led to two insights that really formed the heart of this book. And the book, if I'm not mistaken, was published in 2004. Insight number one, leadership today requires three new habits: the habit of the mind, the habit of relationship, and the habit of focus. Insight number two is that you can start developing the three habits and your advisory network at any time during your career. The author goes into, first of all, habit of mind. And she argues that leaders have to master a new way of thinking. And she calls it exponential thinking. It allows you to see all sides of a complex issue. Exponential thinking is best done with other people. And so this kind of thinking, it plays an important role in decisions where there is high ambiguity, uncertainty, and risk. And boy, doesn't that apply to, well, pretty much everything in today's world. Exponential thinking is required at every level, not just the C-suite, not just you as the owner of the company. Secondly, the habit of relationship. Leaders today have to assemble a new kind of a leadership team, one that will ensure that they undertake the right kind of exploratory thinking, one that challenges perspectives. I've been in the business world long enough to realize and to see that change of leadership that happens in the C-suite. Leaders need external thinking partners so they can explore, you know, these sometimes sensitive and edgy issues with high trust and with an external perspective, or I might would argue even with a counter perspective. And so the author, she argues that these are compartmentalized roles and a person can play a different role. For example, one person might move from subject expert to a thinking partner and sometimes to an action team member at different times, depending on the circumstances, depending on the expertise, depending on the interest. I know CEOs who have a leadership team, and if you look at their leadership team 10 years ago and you look at their leadership team today, sometimes you can see a shift in some of the skills that were needed, some of the expertise that that CEO feels like he or she needs to surround themselves with. Well, it's completely appropriate. We rely on this team of people for us to get the results that we want. And increasingly, we are kind of operating in a boundaryless organization, because there are a lot of us operating businesses, and we've got these relationships that are not quite internal, but they help serve an internal purpose. Tons of businesses today, for instance, outsource a variety of things that are very critical. Number three, habit of focus. Leaders must have the skill and the discipline to focus on the essential, non-urgent issues. Leaders today face information overload. We all do. And we've got increased demands for speed. More and more, our daily work has become urgent. But just getting daily work and getting that done effectively, that's not what our leadership is about. Leaders have to be able to create and execute strategies to carry out our agenda. We've got longer-term plans, short-term plans, intermediate-range plans. And so mastery of the habit of focus is being able to function effectively in our high-pressure environment and make progress on the big, longer-term issues that need our attention. I mean, after all, our organizations are looking to us for direction. We're at the wheel. We're steering this thing. And so your sustained focus on the non-urgent important issues is ultimately what's going to define your leadership. It really is what differentiates your unique contributions and ability to deliver value that nobody else can. Now, insight number two is that anybody can develop these three habits at any given time, any time during your career. But it's important to develop these habits in concert. And so everybody is going to use each habit differently, but there are guidelines that she goes on to point out in the book that can help us develop these things. A really important question is, where do today's business leaders turn for outside insight to help them? Because it's that outside insight that is this third opinion. You know, rather than prescribe a one-size-fits-all approach, I think that we can think about the answer in two general areas: informal circles or associations and formal circles or associations. And today, I want to nudge you to think of both informal and formal circles in light of being purposeful and intentional. We can all improve our lives, including our personal and professional growth, with more deliberate, there's a word that I like, with a more deliberate activity to make sure that we improve our circles. Well, why does the third opinion matter? We're all familiar with the proverbial second opinion, mostly associated with going to the doctor. We go to a doctor because we're not sure, something's wrong, but we're really not sure what it is. And so the doctor runs this battery of tests, comes back and tells us he's really not quite sure what's wrong, but he suspects that it's this. And rather than proceed with that doctor and whatever prescribed prescription may come about by his diagnosis, we opt to visit another doctor. We want to visit somebody else. And they also run a battery of tests. And maybe they too are not quite sure, but they give us a completely different diagnosis. They surmise something completely different. Well, now that's a quandary. Maybe we choose to trust the doctor who gave us the most favorable of these two diagnoses. Maybe we're on the other end of the spectrum. We're a little bit paranoid, and so we're going to go just the opposite. We're going to trust the doctor with the worst diagnosis. Or maybe we choose to visit with a third doctor. I suspect that second opinions are mostly sought to confirm the first opinion. But what do we do if the two opinions are completely different? If we're wise, we keep looking. We keep looking for perspective and answers or congruent conclusions. Miss Jonai's book reveals how we all tend to get a first opinion from the people that are closest to us, and we all do this. And then we likely get a second opinion from other people, either people inside or outside our company. But she puts forth a strong argument for a third opinion, one that is sought from a more intentional group of advisors who can serve us. And she argues that when business leaders avail themselves of such a resource, they hardly ever go back. They hardly ever go back to a life without having this third opinion. And for good reason. It simply is too effective. It's simply too powerful. It doesn't matter unless you'd like to grow. The third opinion really doesn't matter unless you want to grow. Decision making, it's really important. All of us as leaders, we acknowledge decision making is super important. We are focused daily on making better decisions, and we need to make them faster. We all know this, but that's just one aspect. Albeit, it's a very critical part of our life. The bigger reason is growth, your personal and professional growth. And that's why my overarching objective and mission is to evangelize this message that who we surround ourselves with matters, and we should be much more intentional and purposeful about it. Now, that doesn't mean that we operate in that domain 100% of the time, because that's impractical. For instance, your family, first opinion, your family's your family. And I hope that they are perfectly nice and supportive people, but that doesn't mean that they always help us grow. If you're like most of us with a loving, supporting family, they likely sympathize with us. They likely encourage us. They may even offer us some correction, hopefully when we need it the most, but it is unlikely that they challenge us in the best ways to grow, improve, or transform, because they're likely too close to us to do that. The context of our relationship and our history together, it likely prohibits an opportunity for enough perspective to serve us like that. Now, the same could be said of close friends and other associations, maybe the second opinion. They've all got strings attached. a context that makes them all but impossible to have an opinion or a perspective that can serve us simply because they are determined to help us grow, improve, and transform. So these informal or formal relationships in this second opinion, they likely have another agenda, and that agenda is perfectly fine and it's acceptable. They want us to love them. They want us to keep them employed. They want us to like them. They want us to be friends with them. They want us to be clients to many other positive outcomes that are perfectly fine. Hopefully positive outcomes for both of us, but it doesn't always happen. This third opinion, this very intentional opinion that we seek, is valuable to our growth. It's not always comfortable. In fact, it's often uncomfortable because that's how growth happens. We don't confuse, and I don't want us to confuse being uncomfortable with being unsafe or feeling threatened or feeling embarrassed or feeling judged. No, when it's done properly, figuring out how to take advantage of a third opinion delivers superior opportunities for our personal and professional growth because it is secure, because it is safe, because it is confidential, because it is non-judgmental. That is the remarkable opportunity that very few CEOs and leaders have ever experienced. And those who do demonstrate an elevated performance that's uncommon to other people. Your business could be a one-man band. It is more likely that you operate a business that depends on a team of people. What you are able to do with this team of people, people that you have intentionally surrounded yourself with, people that you have intentionally hired, that ability, that goal that you're able to reach with this team of people is likely significantly better than what you could have ever hoped to have accomplished by yourself. It's why you brought them on board. And that's how it works when you're looking for perspective, a third opinion, that you may have yet to consider. It's not about finding somebody with whom you can agree, nor is it finding somebody with whom you can disagree. It's all about growth, your growth, so that you can figure it out for yourself what may work best for you. It's driven entirely by your aim to grow. Besides, why else would you be listening to a podcast called Grow Great? You wouldn't. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. Tomorrow is Wednesday. It will be our Friday because Thursday, it's Turkey Day. So I'll go ahead and wish you now, and I'll do it again tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you tomorrow.